on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Jack Eason joins us. Find out more at jackeason.org. He's an author of the book Together, Abandoning Loneliness for the Power of Our Community. Also, a couple of books on the topic of generosity and giving at our church. And then Strategic Steps to a Winning Team and Crazy Faith. He's also a communicator speaking to young people in high schools, colleges, addressing the issue of loneliness primarily. He heads up CUP's mission, which in our second segment we'll go into more detail, but they lead teams to the Dominican Republic, Malawi, and Mexico, rescuing children, transforming families, and then they do it again. Craving Community Radio is what we're going to focus on in this first segment. It's going to be a new one-minute vignette that you'll hear starting April 1st on KLYT. It is also a podcast, by the way, 5 to 10 minute podcast. There may be some that are, that'll be a little longer than that. But regardless, great content that's posted at least a couple times a month. Addressing the issue of loneliness on Craving Community podcast as well. Jack, welcome to ABQ Connect, and thanks for taking the time today.
Steve, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be with your listeners today.
Listen, loneliness, it's not a new issue. I mean, we find it in the Word of God, but it's really seen a rise in recent years. What do you account for that?
Wow, you know, that's a great question. Of course, most of us remember the joys of the COVID years.
Yeah.
And even prior to COVID, loneliness, you know, was an issue. We were seeing that in culture and in society, in the world, you know, for a lot of different reasons. I think technology has that into play. It's interesting, you know, we have the most connected generation on the planet now with smartphones, the internet, and devices, and yet they're the most lonely generation on the planet. And that was true before COVID, and then you had those couple years almost of COVID, and now on this side of it, it's even intensified. So I think those 2 years did not help us any when it comes to combating this whole issue of loneliness.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the devices that really, in spite of the fact, you know, it's called social media.
Right.
One of the first pictures that comes to mind, though, is the one of the really bad ends of that. I grew up primarily in the 70s and 80s, born in the 60s. But, you know, I had my place at the dinner table, and we were routinely there, maybe until the high school years. It may have waned a little bit. But I think of, you know, when families probably instead of the dining room table, probably at a restaurant more times than not these days, and probably each looking at their devices instead of relationship building. That has to play a big part.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's unfortunately, I don't know many families who do get together at the dinner table anymore. If your family does that, good for you. That's a great habit to have. But I think we're so part of it is we're just so busy as well. And so social media and technology was supposed to, I think, falsely promised to save us time. But the time it saved us, we replaced with more technology to save us time, to use more technology to save us time. And we got into this endless cycle. Social media, of course, great tool. I love social media, but it can easily become a trap that isolates us. And especially for young people, when they see things on Instagram or TikTok, they see those snapshots or those 20, 30 second reels of video, and they assume that what they see, that's the full picture. I was telling somebody else the other day, I posted a picture of my wife and I out to dinner eating, and they're like, "Oh, it looks like you guys had a great time." I said, "You should have seen the argument and discussion about where we're going to go eat before that."
Yeah.
So it doesn't always show the full picture.
Well, the focus on young people, high school, and college, I'm going to guess the reason must be, speculating here, that this is a demographic where loneliness maybe more than other demographics is spiking, and we're, you know, not only loneliness, but, you know, the things that it can lead to. Why the focus on youth?
Yeah, for sure. Well, 18 to 24 year olds, definitely the number one group when it comes to dealing with loneliness. I think that's due in large part to, think about it. I have to think back several decades, but there's a lot of newness going on at that age. You're getting out of high school, potentially you're going to college, maybe vocational school, a new job, new group of friends. If you're going off to school, potentially, or in the military, new city, new environment. There's so many new things happening that causes you to unconnect or disconnect from what you knew. One of the things about newness, when you have that many new things coming at you, most of us don't engage very easily in friendship. There's got to be a level of trust to create friends, and creating friends and creating trust takes time. And so those aren't quick fixes when you go to a new place. And so therefore, you know, a lot of people, young people, especially as you mentioned, have that season of loneliness till they are able to build friendships.
Well, and stay with me here. Paul routinely would repeat things in his writings in the New Testament epistles. For example, Colossians 1:8-9. You know, if we are an angel from heaven, declare to you a gospel contrary to what he already received, may he be eternally accursed. As I said before, so also I say again, if we are an angel from heaven, delivered to you a gospel contrary to what we delivered to you, may you be eternally accursed. And I bring that up because I'm going to head you to a place where you can share some of those things that can be done to combat loneliness, and go ahead and steal the thunder from what you may have already shared on your podcast and what you'll be sharing on the 1 minute vignette craving community, because like those writings that Paul shared, God knows, you know, I don't know how else to say it, we're dumb sheep, and we need to hear it more than once to have it hit home, and practice makes permanent.
Sure. That's right for sure. Here's the bottom line, and you know this to be true, and many of the folks that listen to KLYT know this to be true. We were created for community. So if you go back and you look at the very beginning, I share this with friends, and sometimes until they hear me complete the thought, they think I'm a heretic. But the first problem that was a creation was not sin. The first problem of creation was loneliness. God pronounced everything good until he realized Adam was alone, and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve and, created companionship and friendship. And so really the answer to loneliness is friendship and community. We live in a world, unfortunately, where we are so focused on being independent and so focused on individualism. And even to some degree, we've heightened certain groups and classes of people that unknowingly we've segregated each other into all these little groups instead of looking at the power of community like the early church did, you know, in the book of Acts, where they prayed together and they worshiped together and they studied together and they sold their possessions to take care of one another. Wow, that level of community, if that existed, in our local areas, people would be knocking the doors down to embrace that kind of community. And that really is the answer. You're right. That's the heartbeat of getting back to the way God created us and embracing that power of community.
Well, I love that reminder, and I think of, you know, not only where and staying in the Garden of Eden, not only where God saw Adam was alone and knew that it was not good, but in addition to wanting man not to be alone, God purposed to regularly spend time with mankind in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And when sin became this distraction, and we read in Genesis, where God asks, Adam, where are you? And he knew right where Adam was, and he knows right where we are. I think it was more of an observation. Hey, Adam, do you see that we're not together here, man? And God,
that's right.
And God craves that. I guess our simple answer to loneliness is to remember, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So there is a place, and we've all heard the illustration. Yeah, but sometimes I need someone with skin.
That's right. Yeah.
But that is, that's got to be our go-to when we fall into those pits of loneliness, to know he's just sitting there waiting to commune with us.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the ultimate connection that we need to have is with our Heavenly Father. And at that point, then we can actually have relationships, horizontally with one another once we get the vertical relationship right. But to your point, you're exactly right. A friend of mine says the same thing. I need Jesus with skin on. I need people who can pray with me, hold me accountable, love me, who are Jesus representatives on the earth. And that requires a couple of things. It requires an investment of time. Those relationships don't happen every day or happen easily. It also requires a level of vulnerability and honesty. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day who's in his 20s. He's not currently plugged into a church. He had a lot of people have church hurt. I get it. That's because we're humans. We fail each other. That's just part of humanity and part of how we are. And he's experienced the same thing in some church situations and is not currently plugged in. He knows what he's missing, though. That's the irony. He knows he needs community. He knows he needs friendship and relationship with Jesus, of course, first, but with other people, secondly. And I said to him, have you ever gone out to eat before and had bad service at a restaurant? And he said, well, of course. I said, so I'm assuming you don't ever go out to eat anymore. And he said, well, no, of course I go out to eat. And I said, well, that's good, because you didn't just kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater because you had a bad experience at a restaurant. Equally, you can't do that just because you've had a bad church experience or a bad experience with community. You have to continue to pursue that and consciously prioritize it. That's a mental hurdle sometimes we have to overcome, is realizing it is going to fail sometimes. We're going to fail each other. We may be the person who fails in the relationship, or we may be the person who has been failed by the relationship in community. But we can't do without it. God has wired us that way.
Yeah, I appreciate you addressing the church. And I love that illustration. The one I usually go to is, well, you go to a hospital and you see a bunch of sick people. You know, you're not surprised, right? We're all sick and in need of healing. So much appreciate great illustrations. And listen, Jack Eason is with us. His website is jackeason.org. As I mentioned, his vignette, Craving Community, begins on KLYT sporadically through the day, and you'll hear it routinely on ABQ Connect as well. But as I teased going into the introduction, Jack also is involved with CUPS Mission, leading teams to the Dominican Republic, Malawi, and Mexico. We're going to take a quick break. And Jack, when we come back, can we dive into that a little bit?
I'd be honored to.
All right. We'll be right back. That's after this on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Welcome back in. We're in the midst of a conversation with Jack Eason. Go to jackeason.org to find out more. And actually, I want to give you another website. You can pop this up while Jack and I continue our conversation. In our first segment, we talked about the Craving Community vignette that's going to be starting on KLYT. You'll hear it between programs various times throughout the day. And the website I gave for Jack, again, is jackeason.org. But the website for what we're going to be talking about right now, and yeah, if you could open that up in your browser if you're not driving, cupsmission.com, cupsmission.com. And Jack, as I already mentioned, it involves our outreach to the Dominican Republic, Malawi, and Mexico, and transforming families. It's rescuing children, and then doing it again. But let's walk through those three, the 3 points. In what way is CUPS mission impacting children, rescuing children?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I made a mistake about 12 years ago and went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. It's ironic. Actually, I learned a lot about community and the power of community there. And one of the things that I discovered on that first journey, depending on what statistic you want to buy into that you find online, the Dominican Republic, like a lot of other third world countries, ranks up there in the top 4 or 5 with human trafficking. Young kids are lured out onto the streets and exploited. So our goal with the mission that we started there is really to ultimately to share Jesus with these children, but beyond that, to give them a life skill so they aren't lured into the streets. So the rescue part is, if you look up the word rescue in the dictionary or Google it, it'll say to free from harm or danger. Our job is to provide the hope of the gospel, of course, but then a life skill like sewing. We have a sewing program where they're learning to sew, a bakery where they're learning to bake things that they can sell in their communities and not be lured into the snares of the enemy, but also be able to provide for their families.
Well, as people hear this, and many of them hopefully have opened up the browser to cupsmission.com, maybe already they're saying, well, how do I or how does my group participate and get involved?
Yeah, it would be amazing. We have, and this has grown over the last 13 or 14 years. I think last year we had close to 330 some people from all over the country who come down to serve. It is a working mission. We have a director and his wife there in the Dominican as well as in Malawi, soon to be in Mexico. So groups come and serve on trips. They may participate in a feeding program. They may participate in painting someone's house, door-to-door evangelism, witnessing, distributing food. It's really whatever the mission team, the missionaries on the ground need us to do that particular week. There are weeks available all throughout the year, again, in the Dominican, Malawi, Africa, and soon to be Mexico. Love for folks to come down and participate in person. Obviously they could help send other folks if they can't physically go or come down on the ground in person themselves. They could financially help. Those lists of trips and dates are all online on the website. You mentioned cupsmission.com. But it's amazing. The folks in the Dominican and in Malawi love to see Westerners and people from the United States come to serve. It just reminds them they're not alone, and that God is the Lord is the Lord, not just of the United States, but of the whole world, the whole universe.
Well, let me throw this out. A little bird told me that the new ministry that's being seated in Mexico would be in Mexico City, which, if you don't know already, is, if not the highest, like probably the highest large populace, millions of people. And I want to say the elevation, I didn't look it up before the interview, but near 10,000 feet, which for for those in the Albuquerque area, that's the top of the Sandia Mountains, and we're already at a mile high. So a lot of folks, you know, that would be going to these trips in Mexico, and they're going to feel that you know, if they're coming from LA, they're going to feel the 10,000 foot difference in lack of oxygen. But listen, those in New Mexico in general, which, you know, Albuquerque's a mile high, Santa Fe's 7,500 feet or so, you're halfway or three quarters away there. So this is a perfect opportunity for you to be planning now as that Mexico outreach gets underway to maybe be part of that or one of these other ones, Dominican Republic, Malawi, or Africa. The other thing, Jack, I wanted to call folks' attention to on the website at cupsmission.com, in addition to participating through financial support or actually going on a trip, they can gear up through the website as well. You've got stuff to, you know, they could either use where they are or stuff that would be helpful on the trip.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And some of the things that the young lady's making in our programs and our sewing programs are available online. And of course those funds go directly to their families to help sustain them. Not only that, but if you really want to know the history, and, you know, if you're a history buff and want more details on how things started there on the ground, there's both a documentary for the work there in the Dominican Republic, as well as Malawi, Africa. Similar as far as poverty, different as far as landscape. One, the Dominican more urban landscape, and of course, as you would think, Malawi, Africa much more rural. But there's some great documentaries available you can watch for yourself, or even some churches are downloading those. They're for free, obviously, downloading those and showing them in their church just as a encouragement to remind people, as a believer, we're on mission wherever we live, whether it's there in Albuquerque or in the Dominican Republic. We're supposed to be a missionary for the Lord. So those are great tools that are available too.
Well, and you can reach out either of those websites, jackeason.org, which, by the way, let me spell that. Jack, hopefully you've got. But E-A-S-O-N, jackeason.org, and cupsmission.com. I know often people, as they, you know, they see that the work is being done and what have you, and maybe they really can't go on a trip. For whatever reason, but they can be supportive of it. Jack, talk a little bit about the financial accountability and why Candid is so important.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Steve. Our heart is for as much money to come in to go to the work of the mission on the ground. And other organizations do it other ways, and that's fine. But for us, we have a handful of major donors that cover most of our admin. So well over 90% of what people give goes to the actual program services in the work of the ministry, whether it's in the Dominican or Malawi or Mexico. And so that's important to us. All of our team are givers to the work themselves, our stateside team. But we're a part of, you know, you may be referring to GuideStar, what's now called Candid. It's just one of the watchdog organizations that we send our tax documents to, our annual 990 report, because we want people who get involved prayerfully and financially to know that's important to us, that we put the money where we say we're going to, and we operate with financial integrity.
Okay, and as we put a bow on this, I want to touch on something I actually hinted at. People that actually, you know, there's some people who just won't be able to go. But Jack, speak to those people who think they can't go, but it's much more possible than they would imagine.
Yeah, well, even the fundraising, great question. The fundraising side, you know, for the Dominican, it's $700-$800 plus your airfare. You know, going to Malawi is a little bit further for a flight, and it's typically the same on the ground cost plus the airfare. And we have people who sometimes say, oh, I really feel like God's leading me to go, but Wow, I don't know if I can come up with that much money. I have a friend who has a saying, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Where he guides, he provides. And so if God's laying that on your heart to go or to come be a part of a team or come on a trip, step out there in faith. I will be going, of course, to the Dominican a couple of times over the summer leading teams and then back to Africa in August. And I think in last year when I went, it's about $4,000. And I'm just like a team member. I raise my money to go. And I tell people, get 40 people that will make $100 investment and make them part of your prayer team. And when you get back, invite them to your house, grill out some burgers and show pictures of what God did and let them know they were a part of that. And when you attack it with that angle, it's actually pretty simple. It's not as hard to do that. Physically, some people say, I'm not sure I can get around the terrain of the Dominican or Malawi, but Steve, we've had the youngest person on our team has been 5 years old. The oldest person was 78 years old. So there's wide range of people, and if God's leading you to participate, he'll make a way.
All right, and let me connect this to our first segment on loneliness. And Jack, you can testify. I'm going to guess the folks that have gone on this trip have made lifelong relationships, not only with those that are going to serve, who, by the way, end up blessing you, maybe more than you intend to bless them, but with those that they go on the trip with. And like everyone knows, you want to find out if, a relationship is possible to be built with someone. Just go on a trip with them.
For sure. Well, and the neat thing is not only do you build friendships, but, for a lot of people who maybe even were dealing with loneliness, one of the greatest ways to overcome loneliness is to do something for someone else. And I think there's a biblical principle there. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Focusing your attention on, as Jesus said, serving the least of these is a great reward. And so that's definitely a part of it. The other part is just learning the power of community. You'll see it on full display among the people that you're serving. And I actually often wonder sometimes if they actually have the gospel figured out better than we do, because they so heavily depend upon one another. And quite honestly, for survival, sometimes they depend on each other. They're farming land together. They're cooking meals together to survive. So just to see that on display is a great reminder. Many team members say, wow, I got to figure out how to implement this back with my own family, my own community. The dependency, healthy dependency on one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Well, we've been visiting with Jack Eason. The websites are jackeason.org. And in the second segment, primarily with the mission outreach, cupsmission.com. Jack, thanks so much for your time, and we're looking forward to imminently hearing from Craving Community regularly on KLYT.
Steve, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time today and everything that you guys do.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.